All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Thursday, December 24th. I feel like this date should mean something to me. Is it anything except for a football podcast day? Just the 24th of December.
There's no NBA no NBA games today.
There you go. I knew we were off for NBA. That's what it is. Happy Christmas Eve for those who celebrate. For those who don't, happy maybe holidays.
As you Screw you. Up.
Maybe at least. Whoa, sorry. Buddy. Hold on.
I wasn't sure. I didn't. Sorry. Should we re-record that? I thought we were going to be on the same page.
Well, now I'm off the rails already. They're not going to be able to recover. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Hopefully, if you don't celebrate, you at least get the day off. We are going to be covering every game for Week 16 on the main slate here in NFL. DFSR.com. I'm Doug Norrie. That's James Davis. Forgot to do the intros there, but went a little differently. But that's okay. It's the holiday podcast, buddy. We're allowed to just kind of do it in our stockings rather than in our suits. Like that. That was good. I just came up with that. We have three games. We have Friday game at 4:30 Christmas Day. It's a little rare. They haven't typically kind of jammed a Christmas Day game in for the NFL, but they did this year. San Francisco, Arizona. Then there's two games here. It's Tampa Bay and Detroit on the Saturday, and then San Francisco. Oh, sorry, no. It's Minnesota, New Orleans on Friday. Tampa Bay, Detroit on Saturday, and then San Francisco, Arizona. Let's just get these quickly out of the way. We're not going to talk DFS in terms of betting because we are going to get into some bets that we like here. Betting system been pretty solid over the last probably like 6 weeks, I would say. Where do you anything that you like on getting in any value on any of these lines? These lines have moved pretty considerably since open, at least on two of the games.
Yeah, so I grabbed Minnesota +7 going up against the Saints. Our system likes that number, you know, up to almost 10 or 11. Like it's really liking the Minnesota side here. And that's not even taking into account. It's basically assuming like a neutral performance at a quarterback. And what we saw last week from Breeze was anything but. So, you know, short week, how bad he looked last week. I think Minnesota +7 looks like a good number. So that's probably my favorite.
Yeah, jump into something you said. You said up to -10. I think you mean the other way. It's good.
I said +7. I didn't say +7.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so it's good to plus. You know, sorry. Anyway, it's good to about +5.5.
Anyway, oh, that's keep my going. Bad. Yeah.
It's okay.
I was reading that the reverse. Yep. So definitely like the Vikings +7. We also bet Tampa Bay -9.5 against Detroit. Detroit, just one of those teams battling for the very worst defense on the entire year. They've been a little bit, I don't know why, they've been a little bit overpriced in terms of betting markets by our system, basically on a week-in, week-out basis. So betting against Detroit has been a common theme for us. There's also, you know, Stafford's lingering issues. They got skill position injuries. So I'm happy to be a buyer at Tampa Bay -9.5 too.
And we have sort of a projection on the San Francisco Arizona game, but it's not really worth it because they have a quarterback issues. So
yeah, it's impossible for us to determine how the quarterback is going to change.
Yeah, like not in a functional, not in a way that's entirely functional, considering it's the important piece. So I think that science is solvable. It's just that we tend to avoid those games just in general. Okay. By the way, that science is solvable. I'm not sure what we're comfortable saying we've solved it yet. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
So when it comes to new guys taking over, I think especially when there's not a long track record, I actually think that most people are probably not capable of assessing this. Even, you know, your sports betting touts on Twitter and so on. Like, unless you have a decent sample size of how a guy performs in the NFL, you just don't know if a guy's going to be like Jalen Hurts and come in and be better than the previous guy, or if he's going to be someone, you know, like Kendall Hinton. Well, in that case, you probably had a pretty good idea. But like, can anyone really definitively say what the difference between Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard is?
No, probably not. It is interesting because there are certain situations where, I mean, we're going to get too far into this probably, but there are certain situations where a team is sort of proven that like San Francisco is an interesting example. Like they're like, okay, we're just so system dependent that it could be kind of anybody comes in here and is like a functional replacement for Jimmy G, let's say. But then if we have a line, let's say that our system already prefers a team over Detroit, and then we learn that Stafford is out, then and the line like hasn't moved that much, or excuse me, the line is set with Stafford out, but then it still shows us in favor of the other team, then that's a situation where I feel very comfortable with. That makes sense.
That's right.
Like once the line is set, after the quarterback change has already been enacted, and if we're still like if the number already said to bet the opponent, then I think that's the one situation where I'll feel comfortable with it.
Yep.
Okay,
I like that.
Let's move into the we missed one more game. Miami and Las Vegas. It plays Saturday night. Let me just double check that one real quick because I didn't have that one.
A good example here. I think of exactly what you just discussed, where our system likes Miami against Vegas's baseline. And I know Mariota was frisky last week. At least he was until he wasn't, right. Basically, against the Chargers. But I don't think you could credibly look at that situation and assume that Mariota is going to be better than Carr was. And our system already liked Miami -2.5 here by quite a lot, them up to -6-ish range. And for that reason, that might be my favorite bet of these first four games.
Carr is questionable. He did practice this week. It's unclear if he's going to play or not. For our purposes, I'm not sure it matters.
Him playing injured is fine too. Nothing.
That's what I mean.
It's all gravy on top as far as our system's concerned. Our system says bring on Carr. Doesn't really matter. we'll take right. Miami regardless. And these are two teams. I mean, I guess Tua from Fitzpatrick was a pretty significant change for Miami, but mm-hmm. I think they're fine offensively under Tua. So yeah, I like this spot.
All right, so a little bit of a different podcast than we usually do in this game by game, but I thought it's material as we try to work some of this betting stuff into our discussion more and more as we go along. Colts go in and play the Steelers. This game has a really low total at 45. It makes sense just because we have some pretty slow, defensively sound teams. Pittsburgh is, they just had three of the worst weeks you can really imagine here. Capped off last week by the dumpster dive they took against Cincinnati.
Go to that Baltimore game where they squeaked out a win against Tracy McSorley and company.
yeah, that's true. That 10-0 had seemed sort of propped up on something that, I know people wanted to make cases about the defense, but the offense has looked increasingly shaky. I think the defense is still, sound here, but mm-hmm. from a DFS perspective, anything to like on either side of the ball. We saw T.Y. Hilton kind of get into it last week. Jonathan Taylor continues to sort of, it's basically 2-1 in terms of snap count with him over Hines at this point with Wilkins out of the mix. But I'm not sure we want to run these guys into the Pittsburgh defense, even if their offense has struggled.
Yeah, I honestly don't see a lot to love on either side of the ball here. I'm just going to cross off the Steelers for starters. The passing game just looked awful last week. Colts have a solid defense. Connor looks like he's going to come back. He's quite cheap, but I don't know how you possibly trust it. He wasn't very good when he was healthy. Benny Snell is still lurking. He was somewhat effective actually last week in spite of Pittsburgh losing. So I'm not going to play any Steelers going into this game. And then on the Colts side, the only guy I guess I'm really looking at is your best friend, Jonathan Taylor. He went out and had touched the ball 21 times again last week. He was quite effective on those touches against Houston. Scored a touchdown once again, had four catches. Do you see a path to playing him? I mean, we've talked about how running back looks pretty difficult this week. It is a tough matchup, obviously, but I don't know. We've played worse.
Gio Bernard kind of handed it to the Steelers
last
week.
That's what I'm saying.
I take it back. He touched the ball a lot, but the yards per carry weren't very good. So, I don't think so. I think the Steeler team, even for all their faults on offense, the defense is still up there. And I will say, they do still allow the fourth least opponent's plays per game this season. Fifth least. Actually, Indianapolis is fourth. This is why this total is so low, by the way. This is just, this could be an offensive slog. I don't think from a DFS perspective, I'm all that interested in what's going on here. All right, next game, there is a lot to kind of unpack. Carolina goes in and plays Washington. This game is Washington -1. All right, so Washington's situation now is kind of all over the place. Haskins was fined $40,000, but it does not look like he's going to be suspended from this game. So I think we can start there and say Haskins is going to play.
Or he's available, at least, right?
He's available, right. So we'll have to see what that means. And then Alex Smith is sort of working his way back. Maybe.
Well, this is my question, right? So if Haskins is obviously available, he will be the quarterback if Smith is ruled out. But Smith hasn't been ruled out yet. He's still working through this calf injury. Limited in practice on Wednesday. I'm not sure how good reporting is going to be, leading up to the weekend here. So, and will Smith start ahead of Haskins if they're both healthy?
Haskins was pretty good last week. No, I think he starts. I think between Smith already having been the starter and the context just around the week, I think if Smith is healthy, he plays. So that's number one.
Okay.
Second piece, Antonio Gibson actually came back and practiced with the toe injury this week, which we spent time talking about J.D. McKissick. I think let's talk about this one. If Gibson played, we'd have to just then take out McKissick as a cash game play.
Correct? For sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's I think you need one. Those extra carries.
McLaurin got a didn't practice on Wednesday. So that's another one we need to monitor. I'm not sure what happens with the passing game. I mean, they have some other like functional bodies, but it's been sort of the Logan Thomas, Terry McLaurin show in the passing game when it comes to the targets. So maybe like if McLaurin didn't play, you feel a little better about McKissick. Like, I'm just not exactly sure they have Cam.
Yeah, I don't think you go down the depth chart of wide receiver. I do think you can bump up Logan Thomas and probably not even McKissick. I don't know that McLaurin and McKissick are really sharing targets all that much, but I definitely think you can bump up Logan Thomas at least slightly. And Logan Thomas, you know, is already a good play as far as our system is concerned. So
if it's either Haskins or Smith, Logan Thomas is the cash game play at tight end. So I think I think we can say that's quarterback independent as long as it's not, you know, Taylor Heineke or whatever. So I think that one's fair. And then I think that's it. The overall point being, this is a situation we really need to monitor. There are a lot of moving parts for Washington. There's lots of guys that are sort of like questionable, in and out, not practicing. The rest of the week will tell the story here, and we'll just have to check back in. This is where you want to jump into our members-only chat, dfsr.com/deals, because we will be discussing all this stuff, myself, James, and our boy Chris Durrell, covering all this stuff up and through the weekend. So this is just one. I'm just trying to get all the pieces out there so everyone knows what to monitor. On the Carolina side, you know, Washington defense continues to be a damn good defense. They rank third overall in DVA this season. They're second against the pass because the pass rush has been very good. Is in the past, we've wanted to talk ourselves into some of these Carolina receivers. Thankfully, increasingly week after week, we've talked ourselves out of those things. Curtis Samuel did lead the team in targets last week, then DJ Moore, then Robbie Anderson. Christian McCaffrey still on the shelf, so Mike Davis looks like he's going to get most of the touches. But I'm not sure we want to run these guys into this defense.
Probably not. And yeah, I think even in neutral matchups, we haven't really been excited about running them. They're also getting a little healthier. You know, there was COVID stuff at the wide receiver position that made us want to dabble early in the season. It seems like, oddly, it's first of all not that great an offense, and there's too many mouths to feed in it. It almost reminds me of like the Dallas wide receiver situation or something. And yeah, it's a stay away for me.
Okay, moving into this one shows us having Carolina as a big favorite, but actually I didn't bet this, and I think I have a note to need to check why this is the case, because I think there might be something funky going on in the math here. Okay, Atlanta plays KC. This game has a ton of fantasy stuff going on. KC started at -11.5, is now down to 10.5, but the total's up to 54. So a little bit came up on the Atlanta side of the ball here. On yesterday's podcast, we talked about Le'Veon Bell as a pretty strong cash game play. I'm still in that camp with no news. This is the old no news is good news, I think, on Le'Veon Bell. Look, if Darrell Williams came out and was like the starter, I would feel concerned, only up to a point though. Like if like we got to Sunday and the first snap he was in the backfield, I would say that's unfortunate, but I don't think it would be like a full game kind of thing. You know what I mean? So like I think it's still probably not panic, although I'd probably be a little panicky.
Well, listen, Williams touched the ball 3 times last week, right? Yeah. He carried 3 carries for 5 yards. Bell had 14 carries and a target. So unless something totally miraculous and random happened, Bell is going to be the guy. So I don't think you have anything to worry about Williams being out there for the first snap if we don't hear about it first.
After him, you know, we're up to peak pricing on Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. This is a good matchup against Atlanta. Let me just check their defense this season. Their defense is like kind of middle of the pack. They are worse against the pass, 19th against the pass. And I believe their plays per game are pretty high. They're bottom third in plays per game in the sense that they give up a decent amount. Is a time to pay peak pricing on guys like Hill and Kelce? Have we just finally reached our limit? We've been on the main slate Kelce train basically every time they've been on there, and it's mostly worked out. But I'm just with Logan Thomas there, maybe we just finally don't go all the way up, even though he's been one of the very best fantasy guys in football. They both have been. They're like two of the top skill position. I think they're two of the top 5 skill position guys in the season in terms of DraftKings. Where do you land on these guys?
Yeah, I gave my Kelce spiel yesterday. He's great if you can afford it. Hill, I am concerned about. He mispracticed on Wednesday with his hamstring injury, which they were showing him on the sidelines being treated for this during week 15. So if he's at less than 100%, that really lowers my interest in him quite considerably. I can't picture paying extra for a guy who could conceivably leave early. So if he were to miss, I think then things get very interesting. You know, like you can potentially go down the depth chart to someone like Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson or something like that. But right now I'm monitoring that. Yeah, Hardman, 9 targets last week. He was pretty bad on them, especially considering those targets are from Mahomes, but he's cheap enough that I think you could think about him.
I think I would agree with you that it's worth mentioning on the Tyreek Hill thing. He got hurt in game and kept playing. So I don't know if they're just in a situation where it either got aggravated or they're just like kind of treating it and just like want to kind of play it safe. Cause he pulled up with a hammy in the end zone on an incomplete pass, but then he was able to sort of tough it out. On the Atlanta side, we talked about Calvin Ridley sort of at length yesterday, seeing him as a cash game play, maybe whether or not Julio Jones plays or not. We might be nearing the end of the line here with the Julio thing. It's just been a season of just kind of injuries and not all that great production. Ridley coming off a 14-target week. Russell Gage, 10 targets, though, was only able to convert half of them, but did catch a touchdown, 568 and a touch. I don't know what's happened to this run game. Like, Todd Gurley is just absolutely – he's just dust. He snapped the ball. He had 16 snaps. He had one carry for minus 1 yard last week. It seems like it's now Ito Smith is in the Gurley place with Brian Hill behind him snapping 2-1. Any other additional thoughts here? Like Gage, is he a cash game play? 10 targets are going to be playing catch up, it seems like. Where do you stand here in Atlanta?
I could think about Gage. You just made me so nervous about Julio Jones because the last time you poured dirt on him, he went out there and had 137 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns against Minnesota. So now I'm wondering if I should sneak Jones into some of my big tournament lineups if he winds up playing. But yeah, he's been still basically working out on the side of practice, not really involved. It'd be pretty surprising to me to see him suit up. If he does miss, then I can play Ridley. I don't think I'm going to play Ridley if Jones is available, just because, again, I think Ridley's basically fairly priced, maybe slightly underpriced if Jones is out, and probably slightly overpriced if Jones is in. And it's not a week where we have an abundance of value that lets us just grab, you know, whatever $8,700 receiver we need to find, right? So I'd be a little bit concerned there. And yeah, I think Russell Gage is a cash game play, absolutely, if Jones were to miss. I mean, 25 targets over the last 3 weeks, not super efficient targets, got in the end zone twice though, so.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah, why not?
Cleveland goes in and plays the Jets. Cleveland is now 10-point road favorites against the Jets, who are coming off their Super Bowl beating the Rams to miss out on the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, possibly, probably. But at least they got the win, and good for them for continuing to try, I suppose.
Yeah,
it is funny. I'll say, you know, there's so many fans out there like, oh, my God. Sports are so weird because I get why you would root for your team to lose and why you'd be devastated that they won. But you also have the same complaints when your team rolls over and just plays dead for an entire season because it's not fun. So, like, it is – I mean, maybe this is, like, the one situation in football where you're not usually sweating out the second pick versus the sixth pick, right? But maybe this is, like, the one time where you, like, want to be bummed about it. But it is a funny thing when a fan base is just absolutely demoralized because their team actually won a game. It's, like, one of the – like,
yeah, just, well, so as a fan, I get it because you're like, oh, man, it'd be nice if my team lost. Being demoralized about it, I find to be – a little bit silly, because like if you put yourself in the shoes of the players and coaches, unless they get an explicit mandate from on high, Like, if I'm one of the Jets players, I'm definitely trying my best every single week, right? Like, I don't care if some team that I probably won't even be on gets the first pick next year. Like, I just want to continue to have this career where the average lifespan is like 3 years. And if I'm still healthy, it's a pretty silly instinct, I think, to lose your mind about your team winning. So that's my feeling.
From a fantasy perspective, you know, Cleveland looks like they're going to kind of roll downhill in this game. We have one, we tend to gravitate toward running backs in situations like this. I'm not sure this is the spot. This is a weird one because we have a Chubb and Kareem Hunt sort of, you know, your turn, my turn sort of thing in the backfield to start. And the Jets, you know, for as bad as they've been, it doesn't appear to be because of the run defense. The run defense is eighth overall this season. Just so much significantly better than the pass game. So, we talked a little bit about Jarvis Landry yesterday. You know, could we do Kareem Hunt because he gets a few more targets in the pass game? Give me your thoughts here in Cleveland. Feels like the spot to play some fantasy guys. Also, not sure we're getting a ton of value on it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm not going to play a $9,000 running back in a timeshare in Nick Chubb. And with Hunt, I'm not going to play his backup either. So I won't be touching either of those running backs. Jarvis Landry, I'm definitely intrigued by. I think the target share has been there. He's one of the last guys lurking in this sub $7,000 price range that actually, you know, is a credible potential double-digit target threat. So touchdowns in three of his last four games, averaging just under 10 targets in that time. That sounds like a pretty good resume for a $6,500 wide receiver. And some easy matchups there, but some challenging ones too. So, yeah, I could definitely play Landry here.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, Austin Hooper had six targets last week. Maybe you like to see him.
He's in the mix for us, yeah, but that's not in cash, though.
Yeah, not in cash. I think that there is some upside there, though, in terms of like just the touchdown receptions. If you feel like the Baker is in an advantageous spot, I don't think I want to play Baker Mayfield either. Though we have targeted some of the passing game against the Jets this season, they just haven't signaled that they want to throw the ball enough. And so the volume on Baker is just simply not there. In terms of a bet, let me just check down on this real fast.
Oh yeah, we liked Cleveland heavy at -9.5. I don't know if that line's moved or not, but I bet them pretty heavily, liking Cleveland up to -13, I believe.
Yeah, up to 13, which feels like a pretty good value at this point. I don't think the line ever gets there, but yeah, this seems like a pretty stark difference in where it lands. Okay, Bengals go in and play the Texans. We have the Texans are -9 with a 46 over under right now. Last week they got David Johnson back and Duke Johnson was out. We saw that he ended up, even for all of his injuries this season, and he's had a few different ones, including a concussion that kept him out and some other stuff. He did come right back and basically was essentially an every down running back. Buddy Howell came in and got 10 snaps, but those were pretty inconsequential. David Johnson played 55 of the 69 snaps. If Duke Johnson and had 8 carries but had 11 targets, if Duke Johnson were to miss again, and I think has not practiced as of right now.
He has not, yep.
Okay, so he's probably trending toward not playing. Is David Johnson just like a clear cash game play for us? Can you trust? To me, it seems like he's now one of the few guys out there that's an every snap dude, especially if Duke Johnson's out. Is that enough to kind of roll him out in cash? The situation does feel pretty good here.
You could think about it. It's going to feel unusual. The 11 targets last week were out of bounds, even when Duke has been hurt or in and out of games. Like that, I don't think that's anywhere near what we ought to expect from him in an average week. Maybe something like 6 or 7 targets would be more fair. But and then the carries were still pretty troubling, right? 8 bad carries, once again, for 27 yards. He's just been a terrible ball carrier this year, right? I mean, just look down these game logs. 14 carries for 42 yards. 10 for 44, 19 for 57. That's a lot of times carrying the ball to go a very short distance. So, yeah, I'm not like super bullish on David Johnson. Obviously, the matchup is quite good here. The game script rates to be quite good. But, I prefer some of the other guys we've discussed at the position instead. But, obviously, there's still plenty of upside. And, if I'm wrong on the targets, things could go much better in his direction. But, like, are you convinced that he's a better play than Gio Bernard, who touched the ball infinity times last week? In a very tough matchup against the Steelers, he's 700 less. Should we just be talking about Bernard instead?
The 9-point favorite thing has me feeling like this. If I felt like they were sort of all things being equal in terms of opportunity, which I'm not even sure they are, because we were only a week away from Bernard just kind of like splitting snaps three ways between three other running backs, okay. Samaje Perine and stuff. I think from that perspective, I'd be a little bit concerned. And then I just like the 9-point favorite is just like that's going to be the coin flip territory for me because it's just this is where running backs have in the past proven to like have much better opportunity. So I think if that's the part of the equation that we're wondering about, then I'm going to go David Johnson here. I get that he's hasn't been, you know, good, but I do believe that if things are going correctly, he is the plan there. And Cincinnati is still, are they worse? Well, it's funny. Actually, Houston is a much worse defense. I don't know. Maybe it's closer than I thought. Cincinnati's 25th in DVOA, 17th against the run. Houston is 30th in DVOA, 29th against the run. Man, maybe this, I don't know. Yeah, this is maybe it's closer. We're usually not here with running backs. I think the two deciding things would be, I'm just going to trust the line, and I'm going to say that David Johnson has no one behind them, and we are only a game away from Gio having some other guys with him. Is that enough? Like, I think that from a cash game perspective. Sense. Yeah. Anything else to see? We talked about Cooks and Kuti in terms of the wide receivers. I don't know if we need to go back through that. You can go back and listen to yesterday's podcast. Cincinnati, they have Tyler Boyd and you know, T. Higgins, who have been functional in the past. Anything to like here on the Cincinnati side of the ball other than, you know, the aforementioned Gio Bernard?
No, that's pretty much it. With the quarterback play, you can't touch the passing game. So I'm looking on to the next one, Doug.
All right, we have Giants go in and play the Ravens. Ravens still very much, the AFC has gotten a little bit weird here. These teams that have, it's so funny, you have the NFC East where the Giants are fighting for a playoff spot, and they are, I'm just checking the final records here real quick. So right now, Baltimore's 9-5. Unclear if they're going to make the playoffs at this point. Like, they kind of just do need to win this game. On the opposite side, Giants 5-9. Very much also in the playoff hunt because of the NFC East, because of the NFC East. So this is, if 2020 is the bizarro year, this one kind of encapsulates it. Last week we trotted out Lamar Jackson pretty easily, willingly in cash games. And I'm not sure we want to do the same thing again here against the Giants. He was fine. The Giants defense has been below average, but not great. But are we just having a better value? Because here's the thing. We haven't talked about too many quarterbacks yet. We talked about a couple guys yesterday, but, you know, we're getting further down the list here, and we haven't really mentioned. You know, actually, I should take it back. We never mentioned Deshaun Watson on the last game, and that was a mistake. So Deshaun Watson is a clear cash game play for us. We mm-hmm. hadn't talked. If you didn't listen to the cash game podcast, we went into great detail about why Watson is a good play. So I kind of skipped over that in the last game. Apologies. Where do you stand with Lamar Jackson? Much more willing to get out and run now. Definitely need to win this game. Seems like they should be in full control of the game. And we've seen that even when they're in full control, they kind of do keep their foot on the gas with Lamar. That was what happened last week. What are your stance here on the Baltimore guys?
Yeah, I certainly don't mind playing Jackson. You know, listen, part of the reason we played him against Jacksonville, I realized we played Jackson against Jacksonville. That's like his ville, you know? Yeah. That's a good one. That's a great observation.
Really good one. definitely keep it in the podcast. that'll make it past edits. Go ahead. Keep going.
But it was the best possible matchup is my point. And he was 600 cheaper. So I don't know how excited you could be to play him at 600 more against a significantly tougher defense. Listen, it's been pretty crazy with him over the last 3 weeks. It's been nice to see the carries have maintained, like basically starting with that Pittsburgh game in November. He's had double digit or slightly under carries in every single game. He's got 5 rushing touchdowns in that time. So the running game is like fully on at this point. He's also got 22, 17, and 17 passing attempts in the last 3 weeks. Like, is he just like a slightly rich man's Jalen Hurts? Like, is he worse? I don't know. The passing is just not there at all. And I think that's at least got to be a little bit concerning as you start to push him back up towards all-time high prices. It hasn't mattered. You know, he's still produced these fantasy totals week in, week out, but I'm a little bit worried that if he's not the one getting the rushing touchdowns, let's say, that the fly is in the ointment at that point, and then we're not too happy with the play.
Yeah, I mean, on the season, Lamar Jackson is, in total DraftKings points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, he's 10th. Right, like he's just 10th overall. He has one fewer game than these other guys, it looks like.
He missed that game with the COVID stuff.
Yeah, let me do right. So let me just do average fantasy points.
I'll wait.
Yeah, so he's still raising in the same range. He's like 7th or 9th. I can't count. No, he's 8th. Mm-hmm. Jeez, I can't count. He's 8th overall in average points per game. He's just not the guy that he was last year. Like he's, you know, a little bit, you know, in terms of overall play, he's a little bit ahead of Tom Brady, right? He's like a little bit ahead of Ryan Tannehill. He's clearly behind Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and Rodgers and all these other guys. Like, he's just not the same dude. And so But the problem is, because the pricing and the ownership have remained decent on a week-to-week basis, like, you're not getting any value on his actual performance, because people are still willing to play them, rightfully, and it makes sense. And he started off at such a high price that it's going to be hard for that to trend down past into like the actual fair value. So when he's getting an okay matchup at this point, you're not getting anything on it. And so I think that's what it is. And we've seen it. Like, we saw it even last week where it's like, oh, you know, good, not great. And even in the best matchup, he was fine, right? But like, it wasn't, you know, some of the performances we saw last year. What about they have kind of just concentrated things a little bit more on J.K. Dobbins at this point. Played 35 of the 55 offensive snaps, 14 rush attempts. It looks like, you know, Mark Ingram, I believe, was just fully out last week. Gus Edwards did get in there a little, 9 carries. The targets are never really going to be there for the running backs. Do you like anything for the run game here, knowing that they're big home favorites?
I don't know. I know, actually, what was Dobbins' ownership in cash last week? It was like 20% or something, right?
So, I don't remember. Yeah.
It was significant. And, you know, he winds up getting there basically on the back of the rushing touchdown. I still just think, again, in the best possible matchup, if you were kind of squinting and praying that he would punch in that touchdown in order to get there, I don't know how you can play it. I also think the presence of Jackson makes rushing touchdowns even more scarce on this team than they would be on a normal team. Throw in, you know, the threat of a potential timeshare. I just don't think it comes together. I think Andrews is an interesting option as a kind of a pivot from some of the obvious tight end plays. He's still got great touchdown potential. You know, the potential is there for an 8 or 9 target game. But if Lamar is going to pass the ball 20 times, you know, it makes it tough for anyone who catches the ball for a living to be a good DFS play.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And it's on the Giants side, I don't think Daniel Jones is back this week. He might be practicing. I've got to double check this. Daniel Jones has sat out the last couple weeks with Colt McCoy under center. This defense, I think you can play Baltimore defense. I even if Jones is back, I think you can play Baltimore defense. Like, I just don't know. Do you have a note on Daniel Jones?
Yeah, he practiced this week. He supposedly looks a lot better. He could be trending in the right direction for this game. It's nothing definitive just yet. I agree with you that you can still play the Ravens D, smashing them in the Giants here. If Jones is back, I think you can consider some of the ball catchers, like, you know, maybe Evan Ingram in cash games. But if it's Colt McCoy, you have to stay as far away as possible.
Yeah, that sounds pretty reasonable to me. The Giants offense is just pretty brutal. Chicago goes in and plays Jacksonville. We talked a lot about this game yesterday with a lot of different guys. So right now, Chicago has one of the highest totals on the week. We're coming in at 27.25. That's right in line with where teams like the Texans are, that Baltimore is, a little bit less than Cleveland. But this is a pretty high total, all things considered. And it makes sense. Jacksonville is just a bad defense. We've seen it week in and week out. Trubisky is a squint, and you can see it. DraftKings, cash gameplay to me. I still prefer guys like Hurts, guys like Watson in that group. But with DraftKings, if you're getting $1,300 to $1,400 savings on Trubisky, I think you can do worse considering the matchup. We talked a lot about David Montgomery yesterday as being probably just a definitive cash game play on this slate. He's essentially in all of our lineups right now. I think he will be the chalk. He's had high ownership on a week-to-week basis. I don't think that's set to change. The price on DraftKings is making you probably start to think about it about at 7,700, but he's been so good over the last 5 weeks that I just think that you grin and bear.
He also catches balls out of the backfield, which helps on DraftKings too. I think you're going to play him there.
And then finally, we have Allen Robinson, who's in a very good spot against Jacksonville's, I believe, league worst passing DVOA. So I think even there's a scenario where even stacking all three of those guys makes sense to me in cash. I don't think we'll end up doing it, but it wouldn't, you know, I don't think it would kill you if you did that. I think that has a really, really high floor. So anyway, any more thoughts on Chicago? I kind of just went on. I'm trying to just sum up what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, but I think we like the Chicago offense. I think you said it well. On the other side of the ball, Jacksonville, obviously not a super inspiring offense to target for DFS purposes with the quarterbacks moving around. Robinson has said that he expects to play going into this weekend's game.
Yeah, but the team said he wasn't playing.
I know. So this is the tricky part. And so I don't know. The coach says that they think he'll play it safe. So I don't know. This is a wait and see. We can't offer a whole lot of guidance. I don't think you would just plug and play whoever his backup winds up being.
Dare Agunbanmola.
Well, they're also talking about Divine Azigba as potential. I think the last note was Divine Azigba would be the first two down back, and Dare Agunbanmola, I think I did it better than you, would be the third down back. So, which is to say, it's a stay away. They're also huge underdogs. Robinson actually is one of these actually talented running backs that I think makes a difference over his backups. So it's a stay away.
But. Well, someone who's playing against Robinson in my season-long finals this week, I'm saying, let's play it safe, everybody. No reason. Let's
yeah, he's young. You got a whole career ahead of him.
I will say this is more season-long. This is the most, can be the most, it's not even my team. But James Robinson, this just like absolute steal of the draft, who stayed healthy all year, performed week in and week out for a bad team.
Oh, I know. It's like eight-point underdogs.
It's like one of the very main reasons you're actually in the finals this week.
Of course. Yeah.
And now to just be like, to have it not, to have it possibly just not even be an injury, to have it just be possible rest. I'm all for the rest. I'm not for injuries. If you're injured, you know, I want you to be healthy. But if it's just a rest thing, it would be one of just the all time brutal beats to like just get all the way there and then just be like, he could have even played and they just decided not to. So monitor that situation. I'm not sure what the passing game would, you know, they did bring Minshew back here. I think Conley caught a touchdown last week. Let me just double check this line real quick. Yeah, so Laviska Shenault actually led the team in targets with six. They really weren't there. It was like 6-5-4-3 in terms of like Shenault, DJ Shark, Eifert, Conley. Conley caught the touchdown. Anything you like here on the Jacksonville passing side?
No.
Yeah, there you go. That was easy. Hey, one thing we actually skipped over, I forgot. Did we skip over the – did we talk about the – oh, no, we talked about – did we mention Le'Veon Bell? I can't remember. I'm, like, forgetting.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Oh, we did?
Mentioned
okay.
Le'Veon Bell.
All right, my bad.
Big time.
Yeah, okay. I got a little confused there. I was like, I thought we just, like, totally skipped over it, and I was going to go back. But that's what happens when you're – hey, look, when you're doing a podcast when you one take a game-by-game podcast, sometimes your brain's moving a little bit behind, and it's moving a little bit ahead, and that's just kind of how you have to do. So sometimes –
yeah, this is one of those behind times. I got you.
doesn't happen often, but it happens every once in a while. Denver goes in and plays the Chargers. Chargers 3.5-point home favorites. I'm gonna tell you right now, we like the Chargers -3.5. We've been skipping over a few of these bets, but Chargers -3.5 is definitely aligned. That one feels like sort of wrong to me. Chargers are a little bit maligned by having some weird coaching stuff on the season, where the numbers end up I think looking a little bit worse. Real quick, Denver and Chargers have the same exact record. I know a little bit this is the Kendall Hinton game, but Denver on the season is -120 point differential. That's third worst in the AFC. Like they've been very, very bad. Even if you backed out the Hinton game, they'd still be third worst in the AFC. So that's just kind of where we stand on the Broncos.
Yeah, well, and people get excited because they had a few good games recently, played some good teams, tough. And this is the trap you fall into, I think, in football sometimes, where especially betting football, since there's only one game a week, it's very easy to have this recency bias where you're like, Denver hasn't played a good game since November. You're like, yeah, that was two games. You know, right. So like, you can't get too carried away. Like, are you going to go off the first game of the season last night and, you know, say the Mavs are going to go winless in the NBA? No, of course not. But in the NFL, we fall into this constantly. So yeah, Denver truly stinks. The Chargers are better than them. I know they have the same record, but any betting line should reflect that the Chargers are better.
From a fantasy standpoint, we're still in the Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay timeshare. It was 34-23. I know Gordon got there with the two touchdowns last week, but you just can't trust that one of these. I mean, short of one, I got my kid. It's Christmas Eve, buddy. Their kids are excited for Christmas. So if you get this in the background,
is that
right? I got a very excited Christmas kid in the background that simply will not understand.
Christmas kid.
Yeah, she's just like, you know what I'm going to do? Stand on the other side of this door in this one room, the only room we're working in. We've got lots of rooms in the house, but I'm going to stand outside this door and scream that
just for COVID precautions.
Yeah. And secrecy around Christmas. Anyway, real quick, the Chargers are still a pretty bad defense. Where did we land on Noah Fant? 11 targets last week. Been one of the better pass catching tight ends in all of football this season. Could you stomach a Fant over Logan Thomas play, or at least like a pivot there in terms of tight end?
Nah, I'm going to play Logan Thomas in cash games. I think Fant is a big tournament target. You know, he's got potential there. I mean, listen, this is the state of the position, which I understand, but this guy's got 7.8 FanDuel points per game this season at $6,200. That is a terrible rate. This is why at tight end, we're generally just spending as little as possible. Now, I will say with tight end, there is some volatility around opportunity. You know, guys can kind of spring up and become better options based on who's out and who the quarterback is and all that stuff. So Fant is definitely playable, but, you know, far from exciting here.
All right, moving on to the Chargers. We've been wanting to play Chargers guys this season when the time is right. Sometimes you get the running back situation with it, you know, the injuries. Sometimes there's a wide receiver thing. So last week, Austin, in terms of the running back opportunity, Austin Ekeler and Kalen Ballage basically went 2-1, Ekeler to Ballage. Ekeler ended up rushing 13 times, did get four targets. Ballage, no targets, just eight rushing attempts. So talk to me about your, you know, your interest in Eckler, and then, well, let's also throw in the injury stuff that we're monitoring on the Charger side. It looks like right now Keenan Allen is still not practiced. I believe Mike Williams has not practiced either. I think it feels like we can get away with something here in the Chargers offense. What are your thoughts? Or do we just need to kind of monitor the situation?
Well, yeah, if Keenan Allen's out, that's obviously a number of targets that can be redistributed. I think you can look back to last week and see how the Chargers handled that and get a pretty good idea. Guys like Jalen Guyton, Hunter Henry, if he plays, he's also questionable with an illness right now. So I believe that's a non-COVID related illness. So, you know, we're just going to have to keep an eye on it. But there's no definitive guidance we're going to be able to offer there. You mentioned the running game briefly. I can't imagine playing Austin Eckler this week, right? But Ballage is still just fully lurking. And in a game where theoretically the Chargers could have used Eckler's talents, he just gets just four targets and 13 carries. He's still been quite good on a per-touch basis, so he looks like pretty fresh to me. But I don't know. If you knew that you could get potentially only 17 touches out of the guy, you couldn't consider playing him here, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's always like the target upside, but it hasn't really materialized.
Yeah, it's a tournament play. If he gets 13 targets or whatever, then he could score 40 fantasy points. But
that's exactly
you just can't count on him.
Buddy, you said it. You said it perfectly. We're gonna like you said, with the wide receiver game, we're gonna wait here. There's a very good chance. There's good cheap value on DraftKings here. So we'll hopefully know. I really hope we know heading into 1 o'clock. That's always a little bit of a risk, but that we're just gonna get these late game injury notes. But hopefully we have a definitive word on Keenan Allen specifically, because I think we can redistribute those targets pretty pretty confidently at this point with the rest of the guys. And like I said, mm-hmm. -3.5, the Chargers might even go up to -5 with that, but I think we're probably stuck on -3.5, which is good. I think we're just going to sit at -3.5 here going forward. Eagles go in and play the Cowboys. Now, I think this one got an early line because it's a public game with the Eagles. So because like the Cowboys right now start at -1, but that line is fully flipped to Eagles -2 going into Dallas. I don't know if that's like the Jalen Hurts effect or if it's there's no way it's a Zeke Elliott effect. So I'm not worried about that part of it. What are your thoughts here on this game? How confident are we betting this game? We had Dallas as like slight +1 favorites here, but this is another one where you get some weird DAC stuff at the beginning of the year with our overall numbers. It's tough to fully translate it. It's a little hard to make heads or tails.
And you get Jalen Hurts coming the other
exactly,
way, too.
So. Exactly. What Jalen Hurts actually does for the team, one win, one loss. It's clear the offense has a spark. He's incredibly inefficient when it comes to passing. You mentioned this yesterday about, like, we probably need to pump the brakes on his fantasy upside just because the inefficiency is just not something that's easily sustainable from a quarterback. But he also, but there's very few quarterbacks that are going to average, you know, 14 carries a game or whatever he's done over the first two first 2 weeks. So, break down this game for me in terms of like where we stand on the betting side of it and what you want to do at least to start for Philly, and then we can talk a little bit about Dallas.
Yeah, I think this is a classic stay away on the betting side. I don't see how you could look at. I just don't see how anyone could credibly look at this and say, yeah, I have a sample size that I can trust here. You know, whether it's Hurts's production or what the Cowboys should look like, you know, with potentially Pollard, potentially Zeke. Like there's just a lot of moving parts. So I don't plan on betting either side of this game. And that's pretty much how I weigh in there. I will say Zeke is practicing right now, so, or at least in a limited fashion. That certainly takes the luster off of playing Tony Pollard. You're gonna have to watch that. It's a 4:25 game. If you don't hear definitively that Zeke is out or active, you cannot speculate here, because if you wind up jamming Tony Pollard, and he's not exactly cheap anymore, he's still plenty cheap. Like, you'll play him if he is the lead back, but if it's a speculative thing at all, he could get 2 carries if Zeke comes back. So I will not be playing Pollard unless I get definitive word. I noticed this earlier on the Dallas side, but the passing game, it's just too many mouths to feed from too poor a chef. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what we're keeping. We're keeping that one in the podcast.
Yeah, so I'm going to stay away from the Dallas passing games is what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah, look, we try to gallop out there and cash along with a lot of other people. We're very cheap on DraftKings last week, kind of luck boxed into a touchdown, but the targets really just aren't going to materialize. You're right, there's just too many guys. And by the way, it's not even like the good players are getting the targets. Like Cooper was 5th in targets last week.
You just can't say for sure, right? So it's just not a consistent situation.
Final game on the slate here is, as he clicks back over to it, Rams go in and play Seattle. Seattle went from a 2.5 point favorite to a 1.5 point favorite, probably on the heels of the Rams' loss to the Jets. Embarrassing loss, no other way to put it. Frankly, improbable loss. Probably one of the biggest. I really never checked this. It's got to be one of the biggest upsets in the history of football, right?
I think, like, I said it's been 25 years since a team that is that big an underdog won outright. So, yes, it's
that is absolutely
pretty improbable, I would say.
I will say, so there tends to be sort of like overreaction time on this. Our line is really close. We have this game is, you know, Seattle minus, what did I say it was? Minus 1.5. It started at minus 2.5. We have this at right around minus 1 for Seattle, a little bit less. So this line looks pretty tight to me. We were able to get in on the Rams plus 2.5 early. And so got good line movement on that one, or should get a good closing line value on that one. Might end up, if it moves any more, I think we could probably be in a situation where we might be able to middle this one out too. So anyway, on the fantasy side, we trotted out Cam Akers along with the rest of the fantasy community last week into the Jets. He was bad, and now he's hurt, and he's out this week. Mm-hmm. Seattle's defense has not been very good this season. Let's see where they rank. Yeah, they rank 20th overall in DVOA. And I believe that their allowed pace is pretty high this season, but I'll double check that. Where do we stand? Yeah, they're the worst. They allow the most opponents' plays per game this season. Seattle does. Where do we want to land here on the Rams' running game? Because now it seems like it's Henderson and Brown. It does feel like we can get some value here. It was Malcolm Brown played 16 snaps last week. Henderson played 7. They both carried the ball one time. I'm not sure there's any great determinations we can make there. Henderson was in favor, then he's out of favor. Like, I don't really know what to make here, but it feels like people are probably going to sleep on the Rams here, especially after the last week, and I feel like there's probably got to be some upside here.
Yeah, in the running game, I don't think there might be upside. I'm not confident that anyone can tell you where it's going to come from. So it could be one of those guys. It could be Henderson. I think he's probably the favorite. Malcolm Brown has been pretty bad, but there is definitely buzz about, you know, a 2-to-1 kind of carry split. Neither of them is talented enough to turn that into exciting fantasy production in my mind, at least not on a consistent basis. So I don't picture myself playing anyone in that running game unless there's like further injury news. Like, I guess there is some, you know, some potential that news comes across the wire that makes me want to do it. But for right now, I'm not planning on playing those guys.
If you're in a shootout here and the running game is ineffective, I think the wide receivers have a lot to like in Woods and Kupp. Their weeks have not been all that great. I mean, Woods has had a couple weeks in here. Kupp has been, you know, pretty underwhelming. I think from a tournament perspective, I'm not going to play them in cash, but I do believe there's upside here, especially if they're trying to keep pace, with Seattle. And let's finish it off here with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Where do you land here on a fantasy standpoint? It feels like we're probably just in the middle. I take that back. Carson played 40 of the 57 snaps last week, 15 carries, three targets. Are we back to trusting him? And even if we were, would the Rams be the matchup we want to do it in?
Yeah, that's a no. I don't picture myself running Carson out there. Like you said, the snaps are trending in the right direction, and they're still not exactly where you'd want to be. Thankfully, Carson's a lot cheaper than he's been recently, but it's still not, I don't think, anything that you can just jam into cash games against a Rams team with a top 5 defensive DVOA. So the game script might be favorable, but it's potentially not. And I don't know, honestly, like, both sides of the game here just seem really scary to me. I mean, because these two teams played, right? They've already played this season. No one was a good fantasy producer in those games. Like, right. Kupp, Woods were both trash. Lockett and Metcalf were both trash. Like, everyone, every DFS viable guy was bad when these two teams met last time. I think we have enough options at other positions, both for safety and upside, that I'm just going to probably ignore this one altogether.
Yep, I'm totally with you on that one. On that note, we are going to get out of here. DFSR.com/deals. We'll get you started on our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab, Optimal Lineups, FanDuel, DraftKings, football, NBA, as we kick that season off. It's all covered on NHL when they hit the ice again. All covered under one subscription package. So go check it out. No better deal in the business. Gives you access to our members only chat room as well. Give it to someone as a gift for holidays. There you go. Like, just, you know, gift.
Nice.
Even if you're not going to use it, gift it. Yeah, you know, there's multiple ways you can help us out. So dfsr.com/deals. Buddy, enjoy week 16 at football and the holiday as well.
Peace.